Good morning. Welcome to the House Committee on Higher Education, Innovation, and Workforce Development. It's Monday, April 20th. We have a number of bills to deal with. We are going to go sort of out of order from where they are printed based on paperwork and our previous discussions and all of that. So let me say off the top, we are not going to be hearing House Bill 2616. And we're going to proceed along the others on our list. We'll start with our work session on House Bill 3342. Victoria.
I thought we were going to... Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, House Bill 3342 allows personal income taxpayers to subtract specified amounts paid as interest on qualified education loans from taxable income subject to same income limitations applicable to federal education loan interest deduction. Limits qualified residents' interest deduction for personal income taxpayers, applies to tax years beginning on or after January 1, 2015, takes effect on the 91st day following adjournment sine die, and does have a subsequent referral to revenue.
Very good. So we've had this discussion, and I know Representative Gagos, it's a subsequent referral to revenue. That's fine. No problem. Representative Gagos.
Chair Reed, I move House Bill 3342 to the floor with a due pass recommendation, and that the bill be referred to, it says Committee on Ways and Means.
Right. It should be revenue.
Prior reference, but it should be revenue.
Correct. Thank you. Representative Gagos moves House Bill 3342 to the floor with due pass recommendation, and the bill be referred to the Committee on Revenue by prior reference. Discussion with that representative, wasn't it?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. We heard this bill back over a month ago, and it was an interesting presentation. We're all for trying to help students with their debt and hold down the cost of higher education. I don't see the nexus between mortgage deduction and helping fund higher education. So I'll be voting no on the bill. It's not that I don't want to, and am not, I am working to bring down cost of education and reduce the loan by students, but I just can't go on this tax bill. Thank you.
Understood. Thank you. Representative McKeown.
Thank you, Chair Reed. I have to commend Representative Rayfield for developing a concept that I think is of interest. I don't know if it's perfect. I don't think it's perfect. But I'm also interested in trying to find ways that we can begin to mitigate the vast amount of student debt that our students are accruing in this time frame in which we exist right now, and it's difficult. So I think this bill may need some work, but I'm interested in supporting it. I would be happy to give it a courtesy vote out of committee and let it go down and let Representative Rayfield continue to work this bill.
Thank you, Representative McKeown. You've given, voice to feelings that that a lot of us have, and you're right. If the motion passes, it heads to the Revenue Committee next. Further discussion? Representative Nierman.
Thank you, Chair Reed. I have some concerns with this that, I share Representative Whitsitt's sentiment that we want to help students with debt, and I, like many other people, I had a lot of student debt at one time in my life.
Congratulations on being able to say that in the past tense.
And it is in the past tense. So, it's a big problem. But I think that that this bill doesn't really address the drivers of student debt. It's just putting a Band-Aid on it, and the same way, if you have a serious wound or serious health problem and you just address the symptoms, that you possibly have the unintended consequence of making that worse. So I'll be a no vote on this today.
Thank you, Representative Newman. Other discussion? Representative Johnson.
Mr. Chair, I think that some of the components of this bill look much like a revenue increasing bill, which I think would require 3/5, but I just think we need to make sure we have that on the record as our this heads out of here down the revenue, that this would be a tax increase and should be treated as so.
I hear you. Other discussion? That's it. Yes, we better call the roll, please.
President?
No.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative Nierman?
No.
Representative Reardon?
Yes.
Representative Williamson?
Yes.
Vice Chair Gagos?
Yes.
Vice Chair Whitman?
No.
Chair Reed?
Aye. Motion carries, and House Bill 3342 heads to the Revenue Committee. Thank you. A closed work session on House Bill 3342, and...
Can I promise?
Legislative session on House Bill 2611. Victoria.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2611 extends by six years the period during which universities with institutional governing boards must participate in mandated shared services under the same terms, conditions, funding model, and policy frameworks as existed in 2013, declares an emergency, is effective on passage. Committee, as you will recall, last time we had a work session on this measure, we adopted the Dash 2 amendments that remove risk management from the mandated shared services and specify employee benefits to be continued. The proposed Dash 6 amendments combine the provisions of the Dash 2 amendments and extend the mandated shared services to July 1st, 2019. Because we had already adopted the Dash 2 amendments, we had difficulty getting an accurate fiscal on the Dash 5 amendments, which is why we will now need to rescind the Dash 2 amendments and adopt in their place the Dash 6 amendments, which do what the Dash 2 amendments did plus what the Dash 5 amendments did. Is that clear? Wow.
So we're going to do something a little unorthodox here, and I'm going to ask for unanimous consent that the rules be suspended so that we can reconsider the vote that we took on House Bill 2611. Is there any objection to that motion? I don't see any. So the rules are suspended for that purpose. And Representative Gallegos, let's start with that second one.
So he already did that part, so you can do that.
Chair Reed, I move we consider
reconsider
the vote by which the Dash 2 amendments dated 4/14/2015 were adopted.
Thank you. Representative Gallegos moves that we reconsider the vote by which we adopted the Dash 2 amendments, which are dated April 14th. Is there any discussion of that? Any objections to that? Seeing none, the motion carries, and the bill is once again before us in its original form. We now have the Dash 6 amendments that Victoria ably described. Representative Gallegos?
Chair Reed, I move to adopt the Dash 6 amendments dated April 16th, 2015.
Thank you. Representative Gallegos moves the Dash 6 amendments to House Bill 2611, dated April 16th, 2015. Any discussion of that motion? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I do appreciate the Dash 6 amendments. I think that it helps the bill, I think, be more in line with the intent behind Senate Bill 270, which was about trying to help our institutions create strategic independence, which could help to keep costs down and the outcomes up, and I think it helps to stay in line with that thought, so I'll be supporting them.
Thank you, Representative Johnson, for the discussion. Representative Hayden.
I'm still concerned about the Cadillac tax that's coming our way, and the timing is off by a year on this, so I was hoping to see a three-year on so that they could time that out with the health insurance, and putting a four-year won't time out with the requirement of that excise tax. So I do have concerns about that.
Okay. Thank you. Anything else? Okay. So the motion is before us for discussion. Are there objections to the motion? Let's see. So the motion carries. The Dash 6 amendments are adopted. And this heads to the floor, correct? Very good.
There it is.
Representative Gallegos.
Chair Reed, I move that House Bill 2611 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Gallegos moves House Bill 2611 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion of that motion? Representative Nierman.
Thank you, Chair Reed. Like I said, when we had the public hearing on this, it kind of concerns me that we have, you know, we have kind of a, and I'm kind of echoing Representative Hayden on this one, that we have kind of a very uncertain future coming up with health care costs, and yet we're casting into cement what the rules are, you know, benefits are going to be. And I think just I would prefer to have some flexibility in how in negotiations on that. So, you know, if it's 6 years or 4 years or 3 years or 5 minutes, I think that we need to do collective bargaining in collective bargaining and not on the floor of the House. So I'll be a no vote on this one.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Nierman. Other discussion? Acknowledging Representative Nierman's no vote, are there any other objections to the motion? Representative Hayden, as well?
Just because of the timing, I'll be a no vote.
Okay, thank you. Seeing no others, the motion carries, and House Bill 2611 heads to the floor as amended with a due pass recommendation. Representative Gallegos, you will carry, I hope.
That's right.
Very good. Representative Gallegos will carry. We'll close the work session on House Bill 2611. And
2870.
Well, open the work session on House Bill 2870, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2870 directs the Higher Education Coordinating Commission to evaluate methods to improve effectiveness of public education at the university level, declares emergency effective on passage. The Dash 1 amendments give the Higher Education Coordinating Commission authority to enter into contract with independent, exempt, not-for-profit higher education institutions to review and act on complaints and to adopt rules governing the complaint process. The fiscal office has recommended a subsequent referral to Joint Ways and Means.
So I took a lot of abuse from some colleagues. Come on up about having some placeholder bills, and every once in a while they turn out to be useful. So that's what's happening here. We had the courage to explain what the Dash One amendments do. Please, Mr. President.
Yes, my name is Larry Large. I am president of the Alliance of Oregon Independent Colleges and Universities. And I want to begin by thanking all of you for your patience in looking at this at the last minute of the session here. This is a very complicated matter, but the bottom line is that if, in order to continue to be eligible for U.S. Department of Education Title IV funding for our campuses, there has to be a state-provided appeals process for certain kinds of challenges that students may make about their experience at a private college. There's some question about whether this applies to the public colleges or community colleges or not, but we know from other states that this is an issue that we have to have in place. The U.S. Department of Education passed rules in 2011 and have periodically, each of the subsequent 4 years, have denied implementation. They've delayed it, asking states to come together and produce the complaint process that's required in their rules. This year, all indications are they're not going to waive that, and so there won't be an extension of it. It's an old rule, but it's been one that's been held up for a variety of reasons, giving the states long enough to put into place. Prior to this last interpretation, it's been the understanding and the operating assumption that the Attorney General's office would do that. They have ruled in the last couple of years that they're not in a position to do that from an expertise standpoint or from a time standpoint. So it is being these amendments will give the authority to the Higher Education Coordinating Commission to enter into contracts with the independent colleges should there be any kind of an appeal coming from a student over time about their academic issues. Now, it's not about grade changes between a B and a C, for example. It's about very fundamental issues. I will say to you that this is one of those that gets caught up between state, federal, and institutional practices that's very difficult to track, but over in the last 175 years, there really hasn't been any case that I know of that has come before folks. Obviously, the 1964 federal law, the Higher Education Act, that was passed initially, even since then, there hasn't been any. Our institutions from 2011 are exempt by statute and are regionally accredited and have been in business for at least 10 years. So I think this is a low overhead. There's likely not to be anything, at least from prior practice, from among our schools. But we have to have that in place in order for schools to reapply for their eligibility. So it's essential to have this in place for the eligibility for campuses to get Pell Grants, various loans, parents and student loans.
Very good. Thank you for the explanation. Are there any questions for Dr. Large? I don't see any. I think you've done a good job explaining it. Thank you very much. Representative Gallegos?
Chair Reed, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments dated 4/16/2015.
Thank you. Representative Gallegos has moved the Dash 1 amendments dated April 16, 2015. Any discussion of that motion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. The Dash 1 amendments are adopted. Representative Gallegos.
Chair Reed, I move House Bill 2870 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you. Representative Gallegos moves House Bill 2870 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Any discussion of that motion? Any objections? Seeing none, the motion carries. House Bill 2870 heads to the Committee on Ways and Means. And we'll close the work session then on House Bill 2870. And we're on to House Bill 2871 for a work session, please.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Members of the committee, House Bill 2871 directs the Higher Education Coordinating Commission to evaluate methods to improve effectiveness of public education at the university level, declares an emergency, and is effective on passage. The proposed Dash 2 amendments establish the Open Educational Resource Grant Program within the Higher Education Coordinating Commission, direct the HEC to employ Open Education Resource Specialist, appropriates money to HEC to fund grant program and specialist, requires public universities and community colleges to designate in catalogs and online those courses exclusively using no-cost or low-cost course materials, requires resources created or revised with grant funds to be openly licensed, and does have a we are adding a subsequent referral to Joint Ways and Means.
Thank you. So we had good discussion about this on Friday. In general terms, here is the amendment that we were describing at that point, and I think we're ready for a motion on that, and we can talk about the amendments if needed. Representative Gallegos.
Chair Reed, I move to adopt the Dash 2 amendment dated April 17th, 2015.
Thank you. Representative Gallegos has moved the Dash 2 amendments to House Bill 2871 dated April 17th, 2015. Any discussion? We had some good discussion on Friday, so no need to repeat it if we don't. Okay. Any objections? Seeing none, the Dash 2 amendments are adopted. Representative Gallegos.
Chair Reed, I move House Bill 2871 as amended to the floor with a do pass recommendation and that the bill be referred to Committee on Ways and Means.
Thank you. Representative Gallegos moves House Bill 2871 as amended to the floor with the do pass recommendation and that the committee and the bill be referred to the Committee on Ways and Means. Discussion? Representative Nierman.
Thanks, Chair Reed. I'll just say that this is a great example of a bill that actually does go to the drivers of the high cost of education rather than just going to try to get some money from somewhere else to kind of put a Band-Aid on it. So I'll be an enthusiastic yes on this one.
Thank you, Representative Nierman.
Also, can I ask another question?
Of course. Did
we not have a bill for this? Because this is one of the wild card bills that we kind of got stuck for this.
Yes, Representative Nierman. We had a couple that, based on the approaches that they took, had relating to clauses that were a bit too narrow to accommodate the what I would describe as a more comprehensive approach that we wanted to take with this bill. So that's the reason that it's in this bill as opposed to one of those other ones.
Okay, I'm fine with that.
Thanks. Representative Johnson?
Thanks, Mr. Chair. Yeah, I think it's a great bill. I'm proud of the work we've done on this. I really think we've taken a step forward for students here. So kind of stuff that it's great to vote for.
So once we vote for this, we'll all be united when we go down to Ways and Means and ask them to fund this.
In mass.
That's right. That's right. We can all go together.
$1.1 million should be an easy lift on this bill. This is the best work we've done in this committee, I think. So.
I hope we can do it, too. Yeah. Thanks, Representative Nierman. Other comments? So, any objections? None. Very good. So the motion carries. House Bill 2871, as amended, heads to the Committee on Ways and Means. Thank you. I agree very much. I'm proud of this work and hope we can get it funded. Close the work session on House Bill 2871. And that takes us to House Bill 3075. Work session. Victoria.
2875 is not in my stack.
So this is a CTE placeholder, as I recall. It is I have not been as involved in the CTE discussions as some on this committee and elsewhere in the legislature. My understanding is that the discussions on a CTE approach remain active and have not concluded, so we've been asked to help keep this vehicle available, and we would intend to send that to the Rules Committee so that it is available for the CTE discussion. Representative Gallegos?
Chair Reed, I move House Bill 3075 without recommendation as to passage to the Committee on Rules.
Thank you. Representative Gallegos moves House Bill 3075 without recommendation as to passage to the Committee on Rules. Any discussion? Any objections? Representative Wisnitz.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I understand, and I think this is an important thing that we wanted to address. I would just ask the Chair to be sure that if there's further discussion that either Representative Nierman or Representative Johnson are included in those discussions. I would appreciate it. For any legislation on that.
Sure. I'm not sure how much role. I will have once it's in the Rules Committee, but of course I don't have any objection to that, and I'll try to keep everybody informed.
Thank you.
Absolutely. Representative Nierman.
So I'm kind of uncomfortable about this, too. This seems like this should be the work of this committee and not the Rules Committee. So I'm supportive of CTE, but I'm just uncomfortable kicking a huge relating clause over to the Rules Committee. So I'll be a no on that, but I just want to be on the record as still supporting CTE. And I still want to be friends with Representative Reardon.
That'll be up to him, Representative Nierman, won't it? Thank you. Noting Representative Nierman's objection to the motion, are there any other objections? I don't see any, so the motion carries, and House Bill 3075 heads to the Rules Committee. That takes us, so we have two more of those similar situations with relating to clauses that we've been asked to make available. And the next one is House Bill 2262, so work session there. And I probably don't need any further explanation than the...
This one was relating to either innovation or workforce development.
Relating to innovation.
Innovation.
Yeah. So, Representative Gallegos.
Chair Reed, I move that House Bill 2662, without recommendation, as to passage to the Committee on Rules.
Thank you. 2262. Representative Gallegos moves House Bill 2262 to the Committee on Rules without recommendation. I'm anticipating what you might say, Representative Nierman, and we can put that objection on the record, perhaps very similar to the last one.
Yep, exactly.
Very good. Any other discussion? Representative Johnson.
I'll be a no as well, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Any other discussion? Noting the two objections, are there any others? I don't see any. The motion carries, and House Bill 2262 heads to the Rules Committee without recommendation. And we'll do it one more time on House Bill 2860. Correct, Victoria?
Yep.
Okay. So same thing, Representative Gallegos.
Chair Reed, I move House Bill 2860 without recommendation as to passage to the Committee on Rules and then to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference.
Thank you. Representative Gallegos moves House Bill 2860 without recommendation as to passage to the Committee on Rules and then to the Committee on Ways and Means by prior reference, noting the objections of Representative Nierman and Representative Johnson. Any further discussion?
Mr. Chair.
Representative Wisnett.
This is one-third of our mission statement, and I think we did the Oregon Talent Center, which I thought was a great bill, and I'm not sure what, again, my colleague talking about. I think we should have really done anything on that. I really don't feel comfortable on that one, but
okay,
I won't object.
Okay, that's up to you. I appreciate the comment. Any other objections? See, so the motion carries, and House Bill 2860 heads to the Committee on Rules. And we'll close the work session on House Bill 2860. So we are waiting on one piece of paper to act on the last bill, and before we go into a longer recess, we're going to stand at ease for a moment while we anticipate figure out what we're when we might anticipate that. Representative, wasn't it?
Yes, Mr. Chair. House Bill 2832 is not going to move.
That's the one we're waiting on paperwork. Go ahead.
And 2616.
I mentioned as we started that we're not going to hear, so that one we're done with. So just waiting on paperwork for 2832. So we're going to stand at ease for a moment while we see what we can anticipate as to the arrival of paperwork. So we are at ease for a moment. So we'll come back on the record for just a moment, and it really is just going to be a moment. We have the word from Legislative Fiscal that we are expecting the paperwork at 9:45. So I suspect that people can do something productive for 40 minutes, and if you could please come back at 9:45, we will give it a shot. So we're going to be in recess until 9:45. Okay. 9:45, please. We're in recess.
Thank you very much.
Committee will will come back to order. Thanks for your flexibility. We have the paperwork we were waiting for, so I'm going to open a work session on House Bill 2832. And, Chair, if you want to help us, please.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. House Bill 2832 requires public university or community college that contracts with financial institution, organization, or other institution for student financial aid services to make contract publicly available. We have the dash four proposed amendments, which require a governing board or entity of public or private post-secondary institution to evaluate contract with third-party financial firm based on recommendations from the Department of Education and the Consumer Financial Protection Bureau. Specifies contract may not include revenue sharing per use transaction fee on debit card, fee for initial disbursement via paper check or electronic funds transfer, and account inactivity fee. Requires contract to be made public and posted on the website of the post-secondary institution. Creates a private right of action for students, requires public university or community college contracting with third-party financial firm to undertake reasonable efforts to establish collaboration agreements with other institutions, and the fiscal is indeterminate.
Thank you. Representative Gallegos.
Chair Reed, I move to adopt the dash four amendments dated April 16th, 2015.
Thank you. Representative Gallegos has moved the dash four amendments dated April 16th, 2015. Is there discussion? Representative Johnson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. You know, the fiscal may have come back indeterminate, but I don't know how many of you all have had a chance to read what actually is written here today. It's, again, just to get on the record that the potential is there for a significant fiscal impact if third-party financial institutions object to the contract limitations and choose to no longer do business with these post-secondary institutions. So, again, the spirit and the intent here is to try to lessen some of the burdens and some of the incidental fees upon students, but it may in fact end up becoming more expensive in the long run if in fact these third-party institutions simply say, don't want to do that anymore. Burden goes back to the institution to do that, and that's why they got out of the business in the first place. That'd be point number one. Point number two is section three regarding the student's private right to action is something that did not come up in our public hearing that I can recall. I don't recall any of the students asking for that right or asking for that ability. Representative Nathanson herself appeared unable to discuss it. It obviously wasn't her component within the bill. It's something I think Representative Holvey asked for and got in there. So that, again, is something that is beyond what the students are asking for. It was outside of the realm of our public testimony. And because of that, I simply can't support this. Furthermore, equally as good a piece of legislation, I think, as we did on OERs and open educational resources here just a few moments ago, I think this would be the flip side of that. I think it's really some bad policy, so I'll be adamantly opposed to moving this out of committee.
Thank you, Representative Johnson. Further discussion? Okay. Let's call the roll, please. This is on the amendments.
Representative Johnson?
No.
Representative McGee?
Aye.
Representative Nierman?
No.
Representative Reardon?
Aye.
Representative Williamson?
Aye.
Vice Chair Gallegos?
Aye.
Vice Chair Wisnant?
No.
Chair Reed?
Aye.
Did we forget
something? Have I forgotten? Thank you. No.
Thank you. The motion carries. The dash four amendments are adopted. Representative Gallegos.
Chair Reed, I move House Bill 2832 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Thank you. Representative Gallegos has moved House Bill 2832 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Any discussion of that motion? Let's call the roll, please.
Representative McEwen?
Aye.
Representative Nierman?
No.
Representative Reardon?
Aye.
Representative Williamson?
Aye.
Representative
Hayden?
No. Representative Johnson?
No.
Vice Chair Gallegos?
Yes.
Vice Chair Wisnant?
No.
Chair Reed?
Aye. And the motion carries. House Bill 2832 as amended. We'll go to the floor with the due pass recommendation. I'll ask Representative Nathanson to carry it and close the work session on House Bill 2832. I think that we have exhausted our agenda for today. I appreciate your flexibility in the time, and we'll be... We have Senate bills on Wednesday at 8:30. So we'll see you all on Wednesday.
Thank you.
Thank you.